I'm Samantha Bove, and this is She's Too Much. This show is for the woman who's been told that she dreams too much, talks too much, cares too much, thinks too much, feels too much, needs too much. And I say it's about damn time that we are even more, because that thing you think makes you too much is the exact thing the world needs more of. If beautiful women bring up your own insecurities, if successful, financially abundant women make your brain say, oh, she must have had help from her parents or her husband, or she's only this successful because she's beautiful, or she had more opportunity than me, or X, Y, and Z. If you feel really jealous in relationship when your partner is around other women, you are going to love this episode on healing the sister wound. I am particularly really stoked for this episode because, whoa, if I had to practice what I am sharing in this episode in a really big way last week, I met my current partner's ex-girlfriend because they are friends. And leading up to that meeting, I wish I could say that I had zero triggers and that I was totally cool with the whole experience. And it brought up so much inside of me that really led me to deepen my practice of compassion and of sisterhood. And so before I share that story, that is the inspiration behind this whole pod today, I want to talk about what the sister wound is and where it comes from. So the sister wound is the part within all of us that desires in its healed state to look at other women as our sisters, as our inspirations, as reflections of all of the parts of ourselves that we have the potential of being. And the wounded part of this sisterhood is rooted in competition and rooted in fear. And so you know that you still have a sister wound if you feel jealous around other women. If you have those thoughts, like I mentioned, around, oh, she is going to take something of mine, or because she has something that I want, it means I can't have it. It's the part of us that says, oh, she's just so annoying. I don't know what it is about her. That's the sister wound. So now where does this come from? Why do we have this when we also have this desire to want sisterhood? And it comes from a few places. It comes from the media, scarcity for opportunity for women, which is still very real today. And it comes from millennia of persecution of women from the witch trials and from lots of other biblical and Greek programming around women power being a threat to humanity. So let's start with media. We all grew up watching the movies where two women or multiple women are pinned against each other because it makes for a juicy, spicy, drama-filled plotline. There's the cool girl, and just because she's, say, from a media standpoint, the pretty or one, she automatically has to suck. She has to be the pretty cool girl who has no personality and who's also really, really mean. And it has to be the one that they're saying isn't as pretty, or is, say, let's say media traditionally pretty, or isn't as cool and popular, has to be the one that they need to now go into some sort of competition with each other. The sister wound also comes from a very real place, which is scarcity for opportunity. And so jobs-wise, I remember talking about this with my mom because she really, like, if there is a man and a woman checking us in at a hotel, this literally just happened yesterday, she will want to go to the man. And I'm like, Mom, why? Like, I really, really want to understand why is there this preference that you think men are going to give you a better room or a better concierge experience than a woman would? Because to me, I'm always going to go with my women. Like, he's around me with women at all times. And she's like, oh, because, you know, women just, they're catty. They're bitches. Like, I would just so much rather talk to a man. And so I asked her why. And she, at the root of it, has this belief that women want to compete with you. And when I got really curious about where that came from, I thought about it from a very real place of scarcity for opportunity. So let's take jobs, for example. It's 2024, and still there's just about 10% of Fortune 500 companies that are led by women. So that means that 90% of Fortune 500 companies are run by men. And this is just a stat that is also reflective of all high power positions. And so if you think about it, okay, there's 10 seats and there is one seat at that table of success, of financial abundance, of power, of influence. There is one seat for women. So if there are 10 women wanting that job, you know that there's one seat. So there's naturally something within us that is primal, that is like, hey, I really want this. So naturally, I'm going to have to compete against you for something that I want. Because even today, there's still just not an abundance of opportunities as there is for women. And that's just the reality of it statistically. And this is changing, yes, but this is still the world that we live in. Also, let's talk about men. So we all have been in a place where, you know, we have wanted to compete for somebody's attention. And I could remember as early as sixth grade, both me and this, at the time she was a girl, at this time girl, were competing for the same boy for 30 years of middle school. And I would come up with all of these things that I didn't like about her that weren't real. That's the sister wound. But why are we competing for men? Because there's an abundance of men. Well, it's rooted in the same, I believe, very primal, instinctual, security-based need for protection. And so, well, you may be wondering, it's 2024, like, we don't need men to protect us. But that is truly something that only has recently changed. What do I mean by that? Women could not buy a credit card without their male partners or their husband's sign off until the 70s. Until the 70s. My mom was already in her 20s in the 70s. Can you imagine that? And so that's not that long ago. And also, men are still seen as more competent humans in our society than women are. Prime example is I have been having an apartment issue for months, and I've been trying to get a hold of this property manager, who's a man, for months. Now, my lease is up for renewal in May, and I really need to get this situation handled before I know if I'm going to be re-signing or not. Been calling him, and he will send me one text message back and then not move forward with the list of issues that we have. My partner is like, I'm going to call him, calls him. He answers the phone. And so, you know, I'm trying to breathe and remind myself, well, it's a different number, so that's why he answered. Okay, answers. They have this whole nice little man-to-man pleasant conversation. And then he says, you know, I'm busy right now. I'll call you back in 30 minutes. And so I looked at my partner and I'm like, if he calls you back in 30 minutes, it is solely because you are a man. And he's like, I know. He calls him back 30 minutes on the dot. 30 minutes. I could not get a phone call from this man for literally 4 months. And never even asks him who he is to me. My partner's not on my lease. Is he, you know, doesn't ask, are you a lawyer? Doesn't ask anything. And gave him the information that I've been looking for months. And so the reality that we're living in is that men still hold this power that society does not see women have. And this is like, of course, there's never been a woman president. Like, there's all of these things that are subconscious that are being mirrored to us all the time, that men are in seats of power and women are not. And so if we're talking about competition and jealousy and fighting for men, it's really not all that vain. It really, I believe, can come from a place of just wanting protection, just wanting to be seen, just wanting to be heard. But what does this do? It feeds the sister wound. And then, of course, witch trials, baby. And witch trials are fascinating because they did not just happen in Salem and in the U.S. for a short period of time. They happened for hundreds of years all over the world. I'll record a separate podcast on this. But one of the very common tactics that was used during these persecutions of women was, you will die and we will call you a witch if you do not tell us what other women are witches. And so women have been used as toys of manipulation against each other for hundreds of years. And so why do I say all of this? Because, wow, how much compassion can we have for ourselves? For all of those nasty little thoughts that said, ugh, she's just annoying. I don't like her. Her voice annoys me. Or all of those moments where we, you know, wanted to, or maybe we did put another woman down because our sister wound was activated. Wow. Like, let's all just take such a moment of compassion for ourselves, because I just shared three things around why I believe this sister wound is present. And oh my goodness, there is so many more. And really, I have seen the power of real sisterhood. At the Reiki retreats, that is what happens. Oh my goodness, to be in a group of women who are sharing their stories, who are deepening their practices of compassion and of self-love. And the biggest lesson, which is the biggest teaching that can help you really start to see women as your allies, as your friends, and even as your sisters, is remembering that every single person in this world is us. The God part of them is mirroring back the God part within us. I believe that we all have little gods inside of us. I believe that every single person that we meet is just a mouthpiece for God to speak directly to us, through us. I believe that every single emotion that we experience in this lifetime, someone else has experienced, and who better could know us deeper than another woman walking as a woman and moving as a woman through this world? And that is the place that I want to help women get through the practices of Reiki, through spending time with no phones and no agenda and fully being yourself at Reiki retreats and through this podcast. Because when we come together, woof! Your whole world changes when you can really, really, really have and build that sisterhood. Okay, so story time. It's all fun and games to hear this and to know this from a place of knowledge and from a place of intellect. It is a whole lot harder to practice it. And I had the Olympics of healing the sister wound last week. So y'all know I'm in a relationship. I've mentioned it probably almost every episode because it's, you know, it's significant. And man, I'm in love. So, oh, there's another one. Let's not edit this out. Man, I'm in love. How much do we talk about men? Holy moly, I'm in love. Okay. When my partner and I first started dating, he mentioned very early on that he was very good friends with one of his exes. And I was fine with it. Like, okay, no big deal. Fast forward a couple of months, and he brings up that he would really like for us to meet. And that, you know, she's never met somebody significant in his life before. And it would feel really great for him if, you know, we could have some type of relationship. And I'm listening, and all of a sudden, I watched myself dissociate. And for the next like 3 hours, I could feel myself out of my body in such an activated state of fear. And I had such a reaction, emotional, physical, and spiritual reaction, that you would think that he said to me, yep, I would love for us to get lunch. And when we go to this lunch, I will be moving forward with her and saying goodbye to you now. Like, this is the reaction that I'm having. And we went to sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and I still was having a really big reaction. And so I sat with the obvious. What's the obvious? The obvious is usually the external things So I sat with all of the ego, let's call them ego options, of what my ego could be saying is the problem here. And some of those things were, one, do I not trust him? Do I not trust that this is really a friendship? And I sat with that, and there was no part in my body that lit up around that question of, do I trust him? I only felt complete and total honesty and complete and total faithfulness to me. And I asked some of the big questions, you know, around like what their intimacy has been like, when the last time was, you know, if there was any part of him that still wanted that or missed that. And I watched his body language and his eye contact and his breath. And I, you know, opened up my heart to really feel intuitively, did I trust this? And I fully, fully felt his devotion to me and his desire for a friendship with her. So it wasn't that. Then I went to, am I threatened by this person that I don't even know? And I really sat with that. And I realized like maybe there was a little part of that fear. But when I got really, really deep into my heart and brought compassion, what I realized was no, it's not that I'm scared of losing him truly, because in the worst case scenario, and I think it's a really great practice to help you hear your intuition when you go to the worst case scenario, I highly recommend it. It's not fun, but it is really impactful. I went to the worst case scenario, which was they maintain this relationship and years from now, they end up together, or, you know, that's right. That's the worst case scenario, is she took him from me, which you can't take anything from anybody, I believe. But let's say, you know, my ego is like, she could take him from you. I walked down that whole path, and the end of that path was compassion. The end of that path was success for me. The end of that path was, if that's his path and I love this person, then, well, what am I going to do? That's his path. So I walked all the way down there. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not scared that she can take him from me, because like I feel that our souls are meant to be together. And if they weren't, that's the journey. And I know and trust and love myself enough to know that any path that I choose will be the best, 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 most supportive path for me, even if it's difficult. So then we get a little bit deeper. I'm still activated. I'm like, what is this? And so I decided to turn to one of my favorite resources, which is Lacey Phillips' body of work. And she does something called neural manifestation. And so she has different meditations. And so I go to her meditation on being triggered. And so I go deep in, and what I found was me at around, you know, 6 years old when my parents separated, and my dad actually ended up, the first person he was with that ended up being my stepmother was the person that he was dating not long before he met my mom. And it brought up so much about how I actually really dissociated from that time of my life for about 3 years right after my dad left. And I always thought, like, I have no memories around when my dad left at my, when it was just me, my mom, and my sister. I don't remember like anything. And a lot came up around that, a lot of memories and a lot of emotion. And what I realized too was my entire life, my mom spoke so poorly of my stepmother. Like, she only referred to her as some really bad names, and how that was still in me and so connected to this experience that I was having as an emotional reaction to this idea of meeting his friend, who's also his ex. And so I share this with him, and he, you know, is the most loving and compassionate human and really held such beautiful space. And so what I realized was, one, I definitely needed more time. And so when we talk about healing the sister wound, now let's get into some of the nitty gritty. One, when you're activated, get curious. So I got curious about where this was coming from. And so if this woman is activating something within you, whether she be a friend, your actual sister, whether it be, you know, if you have also the scenario where your partner is friends with their ex, if you see somebody on social media, get curious. Don't just blanket it in, oh, it's just like, oh, she just annoys me. No, don't cop out on yourself like that and on
humanity. Like, if you want to be a part of healing the sister wound within yourself, also be a part of healing the sister wound within the collective, within the universe. Like, shouldn't that be what we're here to do? Heal the sister wound so that when you have a daughter, you can teach her these principles and you can reflect to her what it's like to actually love, believe in women and see them and be seen by them. And so, one, get really curious. Like, why does this person annoy you? Why does this person making so much money activate you? And go through those steps that I did. And if it's still activating, find a meditation, work with a practitioner. This is what I do as well. DM me on Instagram. We can do an intuitive Reiki session. So get really curious, number one. Number two is recognize where you're at in your healing timeline. So what I realized was I'm still pretty activated around this situation because it's really, you know, it's going deep here. We're talking 20 plus years ago of memories and suppressed emotions. And this particular situation is bringing all of that up. And so I know and trust that when I'm ready for something like that, I won't have such a big reaction in my body. Let your body tell you. And so if you, for example, follow somebody on social media and every single time you see them posting about their love or their success or their, you know, health transformation, and it bothers you so much inside. I followed people before where every time they posted, that it has made me sick because I was struggling so much in certain areas of my life, especially early on in my business. Oh my goodness. And I was doing this game in my head of you should be stronger than this. You should be able to follow somebody and celebrate them. But I wasn't there yet. I wasn't ready. And so if you're not ready to follow these people or to meet the ex or whatever it is, that's okay. Like, that's where you're at. Send love, send compassion, and know that you can mute that person or you could not go to the lunch just yet. So that's number two, trust in your timeline. And then number three is get closer, lean in, get intimate. And so the only way I really believe to really heal the sister wound is to put yourself in situations with women where the opportunity for intimacy is very high. And so for me, that was meeting the ex. And so after I had all these conversations and I did work and I also brought this to my therapist, like I went hard on this trigger, on this activation. And then I had the lunch and this was last week. And so I, you know, practiced my Reiki principles in the morning and got really rooted into my heart. And I realized, you know, this is the opportunity for me to be the woman that I want to be. This is the opportunity to practice and to integrate and to not just say that I love women and advocate for women and that I believe that we really are all the same. It is my opportunity to really step into that fully and to heal me and to help her heal too. And so we had the lunch and I would be lying if I would say that there wasn't moments where I, you know, was like, oh, you know, a little bit triggered. And really, truly, for the most part, I just met a woman who, you know, has my partner's back for years and who clearly loves him and he clearly cares about her as friends. And there was no part of me that felt threatened and there was no part of me that felt like she really wanted him or that he wanted her. And I felt so loved and seen by him and so celebrated in our love. And I felt like our love was so celebrated by her. And that felt, it's making me emotional now, that felt like such a gift. And when we left and, you know, my man and I were debriefing about it, I was celebrating him and he was celebrating me because this is just not something that most people do because it's really uncomfortable. And I recognize that it would have been so much easier for him to just let this person out of his life, although they've been friends for so many years. And it would have been so much easier for me to just say, like, I'm not going and I'm not okay with this. And really, like, he told this person that I will unconditionally care for you and be there for you, whether or not we are in a romantic setting. And that's him actually practicing principles of unconditional love, of him still, you know, talking to this person every once in a while and, you know, seeing them, you know, every once in a while. And he actually is a man that practices those principles. And I actually am a woman who is willing to push back feelings of triggered and fear and look another woman in the eye with love and with compassion. And even with gratitude for the role that she played in my person's life that surely developed qualities within him that, you know, have become my home. And I'm not telling you that it was easy, but I'm telling you that it was so worth it. And also, remember too, like, this is not just you needing to surround yourself with women who really activate you to your core and trigger you. And this also doesn't mean that you have to spend time with women that you don't feel are respectful of you either. And that, you know, just like may not simply be your vibe. It means that you can still have boundaries. And if they were hanging out or talking like on a daily or weekly or even really monthly like basis at this point for me, like wouldn't make me the most comfortable. Maybe that would change. But right now, like the pace of their relationship feels so good for me. And those are situations and conversations that you can have with a future partner, whether you also want to be friends with one of your exes or they have. And also just like boundaries with yourself of like, yeah, it doesn't feel comfortable for me to listen to this woman all the time because she really activates me. But every once in a while, like I'm going to tune into her podcast and maybe just feel a little bit expanded by her and a little bit inspired by the success that she has. Wow, that was really vulnerable for me. And I just want to be very clear, like, listen, I'm not perfect. Like, I still have made some catty comments. I still do it. And I check myself. I check myself with compassion and really with what my desire is. What is my legacy here? Will I be a woman who ascends to the next chapter after I leave this human body with this name, Samantha? Will I be a woman who made significant impact on healing this wound and on loving the fact that I got to be a woman in this lifetime? And not resenting it and wishing that, you know, I had to be more and wishing that, you know, it could have been easier for me. No, I think being a woman is so powerful. And I think that we have such opportunity to heal each other and to see each other. And if you are interested in really learning more of these Reiki principles, learning how to connect to that part of yourself as a woman that is so powerful, so magical, and has the potential to have such deep relationships with women, so much so that you genuinely feel like they are your sisters, consider joining one of the Reiki retreats. Just DM me retreat at samantha.bove on Instagram or go to samanthabove.com/Reiki retreat to be signed up for one of the upcoming ones in the fall. I'm going to leave you with one quote from Lacey that I think is really great. And this is about expanders. So she states on her blog, what inspires us about others is a mirror. I'm going to add what inspires us, what also can trigger us. What inspires us or can trigger us about others is a mirror of our capacity and capability. Therefore, when we watch a movie and get entranced by an actor or character in a book or obsess over a public figure or on social media or someone that we admire in our daily lives, we are actually recognizing aspects of ourselves, denied or unmet, that we have yet to integrate, and they are inviting us to grow into them. We are witnessing our potential greater than where we currently are and where we are currently capable of going. So if you see yourself being triggered by success of someone else, but if you also see yourself being by someone else, know that that is the opportunity for you to see yourself and see your potential of achieving all of that and being all of that deeper. And then if you are just plain old triggered, it's a map. It is a roadmap, a compass to parts within you that still need to be healed. Like the little girl in me that dad left for a woman who my mom said was to be blamed. Let's break the generational curses. Let's love on women. Let's do it together. Let's be way too fucking much. All the love. If you're enjoying this and you like this episode, send it to your girls, post it on social, tag me on Instagram. All my love. I'll see you next week. Same place, same time.